Testing 1, 2. Testing. Ladies, if I can have your attention now, I think we're going to try to get started. Try to keep with the seminar schedules here.
I checked, there are no more chairs. They're
okay.
All gone.
Okay. I guess there's no more chairs and there's a few people standing. I'm so sorry about that. Feel free if there's anybody who would like to maybe come up and sit down here. If you're comfortable on the floor and you can see a little bit better, you can sit up close. Thank you so much for all of you turning out today. I really appreciate it. I'm so happy to be here today, just joining in with all of you ladies at this very special Faith Walkers Conference that I know that God has sovereignly brought about. And I'm sure that you've had an enriching time so far. I'm also sure that most of you are pretty weary from travel preparations, from Christmas holiday celebrations. And then, like even Mark was sharing last night, that I'm sure many of you have some sort of a challenging life circumstance that's probably left you weary either emotionally or spiritually or physically. I know for me it's been all of the above, but isn't it just an exuberating time to have us all get together? It's so worth our efforts to be here, and I'm just so happy to have you all turn out and join with me. And I'm also hoping that some of the things that God has really freshly laid upon my heart this past year, just to share with all you ladies today, and I'm hoping that it will encourage you and deepen your faith. There's a verse in Romans 1:11 that says, I'm longing to see you. I want to bring you some spiritual gift to deepen your faith, to help you grow strong in the Lord. And this is my desire for our time together, is that I would be able to help you grow strong and hopefully experience just a little bit more joy in your faith as a result of our time together today. As I've continued on in my faith journey now for 35 years of walking with the Lord, life has not been without its challenging life circumstances. I've gone through many phases in my life, and I've worn many hats, but I know that God's not finished with me yet. But I do know that these circumstances have come into my life to build my faith and to strengthen my character. And the Lord has been entirely faithful to carry me through and has shown me his unfailing love, as well as blessing me with a wonderful church family, which includes all of you, really. It's just that we're at separate locations in different cities. But it's wonderful to be here together. And God's blessed me with, as far as, you know, presently I'm also serving at the Rock Church, Minneapolis Church location with my husband, Mark, and with all four of my grown children and two wonderful new spouses, my son-in-law, who's married to my daughter, Celeste, and then my daughter-in-law, Gretchen, who's married to my son, Jeremy, and then God has just recently this past year blessed us with a grandson through Jeremy or John and Celeste, and it's a wonderful little boy. I'm just so happy to be a grandma, and another one on the way in June. But you know, for me, it's been just a tremendous joy just to see all of my kids serving the Lord, honoring them with their very lives. That's what's been very precious to me. So I'm going here. At this point in my Christian journey, which I call God's marathon for life, I have found it to be critical for me to stay focused and spiritually connected, doing all that I can to grow closer to the Lord, and having just that fresh desire as the months and the years go by to really live to honor and please Him with wholehearted devotion, as well as cultivating a lifestyle of God-honoring praise. And that's what I mentioned in my seminar description. And these are the two things that I will be focusing upon with you all today. So why don't we just take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we just say we're so appreciative of having this time together now. We thank you for your inspired word and how you continue to use it to reveal yourself in new and wonderful ways. We ask you now to bless this seminar session and help us to especially hear from you and take away from this time fresh new encouragement and guidance. In Jesus' name. If you'd like to, feel free to open up your booklets, because I'm going to start now as we begin focusing our thoughts on cultivating our personal relationship with God. And what I wanted to say is, before we get started, I'm going to go over a lot of scripture references today. Most of them have come from the New Living Translation, probably the first edition is what I call it, because there's another one out, and sometimes the versions are a little different. There's some verses that are maybe from the Living or the Message Bible. There are a few typos on some of the scripture references, and I didn't have a chance to correct them before the booklets were printed, so I'll do my best to try to correct them as we go along here together. Also, when you leave, if there's somebody that didn't attend the seminar that you feel like you want to pick one up and give it to them, that would be great, because if they listen to this later on CD, then they'll have the booklet to go along with it as well. So if you want to start reading with me, the first verse is in Ephesians 2, 12 through 13. You lived in this world without God and without hope, but now you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. And in Psalm 73, 28 says, but as for me, how good it is to be near God. And I think just having that personal daily contact with God is what He really desires from us. And then finally in Philippians 3:10, I love this version. It says, my determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him. And you could also jot this verse down, Jeremiah 31, verse 3. And this is where God says, with unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. And every day He has fresh new things to talk to us about, to refresh us and encourage us and instruct and guide us each new day as we seek His face and open up His inspired word. And as one author puts it, His inspired word is the one utterly reliable foundation for our thinking and living. I'll say that again. The one utterly reliable foundation for our thinking and living. And we know that He's always working to build our faith and to make us more like Christ, His way of thinking and responding and behaving, so that our hearts may become completely His and that we in turn might bear much fruit for Him. And so every day, I wrote here, every day I must master the basics by applying these spiritual truths. And this list here that I wrote is not an exhaustive list. It's just some basic areas that I wanted to build as more consistent habits in my own life. And I recently came up with a few things here because I wanted to pray over my daily life and also pray for the lives of my family members. And so what I came up with was this kind of a simple form of two-word phrases in the form of prayer. I turned 50 this last year, and in any way that I can possibly simplify things for my mind to kind of help me stay more alert and persistent in my prayers, and so I came up with this. And but one of the things that I pray about before I pray over these things, every day I pray over the prayer of Jabez. Some of you may have gotten that booklet a few years ago. It's from 1 Corinthians 4:9. And I start my day every day praying that prayer. I think of, and I pray for my own life, but also for my family. And I close my mind and I kind of visualize each family member's face in my mind so that I'm thinking about them. And then I just pray over this verse, Lord, I pray that You would bless us, that You would bless us indeed, that You would expand our territory of influence, that You would empower us to do Your will, and that You would keep us from evil, that we may not cause pain. And when I get to the part that says, I pray that You would empower us to do Your will, that's when I start praying over these two-word spiritual truths. And so I'll just start with the first one. Go something like this. Lord, I pray that You would empower us to accept willingly His will, His plans for my life, His blessed sovereignty, whether that's with all different kinds of perplexities and inconveniences that come on a daily basis, that we would accept that. Job 22, verse 21 says, yield now and be at peace with Him. Thereby good will come to you. And I know just for me, yielding really means that I'm allowing God each day to manage me and my day without resistance or a stubborn spirit or runaway emotions, because I'm guilty of all of those. And especially I think for me when it comes into maybe fitting in with my husband's plans and his authority or tolerating his weaknesses or just you know, life's challenging circumstances on a daily basis, I struggle with accepting it and yielding. Rick Warren says in his book, Purpose-Driven Life, nothing is more powerful than a surrendered life in the hands of God. And I think of that verse in Psalm 46, verse 10, that says, be still and know that I am God. So many times when I'm so tempted to get resistant or stubborn or my emotions, I feel like they're just going to run away from me. I think of that verse. The Lord's just saying, Kathy, be still and know I am God. I'm in control. Just yield. Just step aside. Let me take control and all will be well. And that's what I think about. And I know that when we have a heart of a surrender, we can agree with Jesus and say, yet I want your will, not mine. Or with Mary when she responded, I am the Lord's servant and I'm willing to do whatever he wants. Going on here, Lord, I pray that you would empower us to endure with joy and know that solid character is being built into my life through my challenging life circumstances. This verse says, we pray that you will be strengthened from God's glorious power so that you may be able to pass through any experience and endure it with joy. Colossians 1:11. The correction there is 1 verse 11. There's also a verse in Hebrews 10, verse 35 and 36. I think it's in the Message, but it says, you need to stick it out, staying with God's plan so you'll be there for the promised completion. Going on here, Lord, I pray that you would help us to empower us to trust you completely, confidently depending on his sufficient grace for all my needs and complete forgiveness for all my blunders and fresh new strength each day, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. I like this next verse, and I'm sorry, I'm not sure what version it is, but it's definitely a version. It's not mine, but it says, always live in confident dependence on your God, for I am the one who looks after you and who cares for you. Hosea 12:6 and 13 verse 5, the correction there. Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. And I know that the summer before last, God was using our circumstances big time with our daughter Jessica's health, just to build our trust as a family in his grace, trust in his strength, in his wisdom, in his guidance, in his provision. And it was an opportunity for us, and we still are learning to lean on him harder than we ever thought possible. And I'm not going to take too long to expound, but my daughter Jessica, who's here today, we're so thankful that she's here by God's grace. We barely made it here. She's been sick, very, very sick for the last 4 years, and it's been kind of a perplexing illness. We've never known exactly. We've kind of concluded some things. It took us a while to conclude what she even had. It started with a lot of infections and just a worn-down immune problem, and we took her to the Mayo and saw 8 specialists, and even then, those people couldn't conclude exactly what she had, and eventually her health spiraled more downhill, and it was probably a couple years ago, or not quite that many, 18 months ago, we found a wonderful doctor out in Arizona, a naturopathic doctor, and he's here every 3 months, and he came to our home, and we had a nice long visit with him, and he could pretty much figure out basically what was going on with her by then, and after some more specific in-depth testing, just found that she had a really extremely run-down immune system, but also an extremely high level of toxic organisms in her body, which we refer to them as toxic enemies. And who knows how they all got there? I don't know. We all get toxic organisms in our body, naturally gets rid of them, but she wasn't, and so stored them up, and they went systemic, and it made her really sick. We barely made her down. We flew her down to Arizona to this naturopathic resort, thinking that we were going to stay there just for a couple weeks, but we ended up staying there for the entire summer. But I tell you what, God, we trusted God, and he was so faithful. I remember when it all was happening and how sick she was, and just the importance of getting her down there to get specific help. And we weren't even sure we were going to get her down there. And God was faithful to get us there, but not only that, but just to completely provide for all of our needs. We stayed in a villa that opened up for us just two blocks away from the clinic, $25 a night, fully furnished, air-conditioned. There's a family from Minnesota that was with our church that recently moved down to Arizona, and they went down there and got us all checked in and thoroughly did special things, you know, filled the whole place with all these extra amenities and gave us their van, which I have a bad back, and so driving in a van is very helpful for me. Gave us their van, not knowing how long they were going to, you know, let us borrow it, and they ended up letting us borrow it for the entire summer. And it was just wonderful being just a couple blocks away from this clinic, and the doctor that we were working with is a wonderful, brilliant doctor, but he's a very humble Christian man, and we couldn't have been in better hands. And it was just nice to have other people there helping out with Jessica during the day. And for me, just getting down there, I was more tired than I've ever been in my entire life. But I thought of this verse. I'm not sure where it's from in the Psalms, but the psalmist says, "Oh, that I have wings like a dove, and I would fly far away to the quiet of the wilderness to find rest." And that's exactly what God did for me, because He flew us out. Arizona is like in the wilderness. And we, you know, God flew me out there. And to the quietness, the little town we're in is a retirement community. So it was a very quiet place to be. And not only that, I had a chance to get a little more rest because Jessica was in other hands during the day. So I had more time to get a little bit more rest. And in the evenings, I had a chance to just take a stroll down this beautiful road nearby us. Nobody there because, you know, it's a retirement community. Even people driving these little golf carts is the cutest thing. Along this, they have this little path just for these elderly people to drive their little golf carts on the road. But anyway, so I'm walking along every evening for about a half an hour, and I see the beautiful mountains. I love to see mountains. And then all these cute little scurrying bunny rabbits. I love bunny rabbits. And turtle doves and cactuses. And I was in a whole other world, and it was so refreshing for me. But the verse that I thought about, just a simple one, but so powerful, in Matthew 6:33, that says, "The Lord will certainly take care of you." And even though we were there for 15 weeks and we saw a lot of progress, we felt it was time to bring her home, even though we knew that there would probably be a good amount of time ahead of her for the healing process. But God was faithful. We trusted Him, and He was faithful to help us, and He's still helping us weather this storm, because this past year and a half, she's had very slow, steady progress because of God's blessed sovereignty and bringing this all about. At the same time, the last few weeks, some more things have developed, kind of peeling off layers, and we found out that she also has some heavy metal poisoning in her body, and it's been affecting her big time. Without going into details, lots of pain, and just before we came, we spent a couple weeks at home with a nurse coming in to do IV therapy to help pull out the heavy metals, but we're right in the middle of doing it. Probably shouldn't have left, but, you know, this is so important for her to be here, and we're so thankful. So when we get back, we'll finish it, and hopefully drawing these toxins, these heavy metals out, will make her body have more of the ability to heal, because it's been kind of blocking that. Again, God's sovereignty. But anyway, God was faithful to carry us through. And one verse in Isaiah 54:10 says, "For the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then my faithful love for you will remain. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord who has mercy on you." Going on here, the next one is believe without doubt or hesitation that God really does exist and that He personally and passionately loves me and has a wonderful plan for my life. Anyone who comes to God must believe that He does exist and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Hebrews 11:6, verse correction there. And then 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we live by believing and not by seeing." And I really believe that doubting God can become one of the biggest enemies causing us to become unstable at every turn. So it's really important that we choose on a daily basis to believe that God is real. He's not abstract. He's personally ever-present, real in our lives. And he wants us to understand that more and more every day as we continue on in our journey with the Lord. A little bit more with Jessica. There's a verse in Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14. And she's claimed this verse a lot, Mark and I have, and it says, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. And that's been kind of an anchor verse for us. And when I think of Jessica, I know that as she's continued to be a real source of inspiration and encouragement to family members, to friends, to new acquaintances, and countless people that she hasn't even known, really. But many have told her that as they watch her patiently endure through her painful physical afflictions and has kept trusting and believing in God, that perhaps they too can do the same in their own personal afflictions. And I thought of this kind of this analogy of Jesus coming down in bodily form. And think of this sometime when you're going through a very painful suffering in your own life. But I was just thinking of how Jesus could come down in bodily form and look at Jessica and put his hand gently on her shoulder and maybe cradle her face and look at her intently with tears streaming down his face, saying, Jessica, I'm so sorry that you're in so much pain. I'm so sorry for your painful suffering. Believe me, I understand every bit of pain because I bore all of your sins. I bore all of your pain. I bore all of your suffering. And I know it all. I feel it all. But trust me on this, Jessica. I have a plan and a purpose that I'm using your life. And I can't do it any other way than through your persevering faith. Right now, I'll give you grace, all the grace you need. In time, of course, I'm going to deliver you. Absolutely. But right now, there's things I'm doing, and I need you to keep persevering in faith while I'll do these things. Trust me. Believe in me. It's all for my glory. And I hope you keep that as an analogy in your mind when you go through painful circumstances, because this is how personable the Lord is to us and how much he really relates, but how much he's using our lives, our circumstances, way more than we ever realize. And he's asking us to trust him and believe in him with all of our hearts, without doubting. Let's go on. The next one, we pray that you would empower us to listen carefully with a soft, attentive heart as we sit at Jesus' feet to hear from him. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift from it, Hebrews 2:1. Ladies, open up your Bibles. I can't express it enough to you. Open up your Bibles. You have no reason not to. It's so important because we really need to renew our minds to see things from God's point of view, and we can't see things from God's point of view unless we open up our Bibles and let him speak to us. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is full of living power." And I know that God can speak to us through our Bible reading, through meditating on previous scriptures, through our prayer times, through scripture memory, through Bible teaching, through other people, etc. But we must always be attentive because God is always wanting to speak to us. And also just to remember too that God listens to us. There's a verse in Psalm 22 verse 24 that says, "For he has not ignored or belittled the sufferings of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but he has listened to their cries for help." And even if our faith seems small, God is listening and he's working in ways that we cannot see. And that's why it's important that we trust him, believe him, and also do the next one that we're going to talk about, and that's pray persistently. I believe that prayer helps us to nurture our vital relationship with the Lord. And I think just one thing to start your day off with is just asking Him to put us to good use and service to other people's lives, as well as continually just pouring out our hearts to the Lord, whatever it might be, our concerns, our worries for the day, our requests to Him, just making sure that we present them to Him, you know, at the beginning of our day, as well as continually throughout the day, and offering up prayers for others. And I was just thinking of our children growing up, and I was just envisioning them sitting around the table, homeschooling them. And every day we would pray for our day. We would pray for different concerns that we might have as a family, but also just being aware of other people that, you know, within the church that we could pray for, or different things that happened during the day. We would stop everything we're doing. We'd pray. Or if we got in a car and went somewhere, we'd pray on our way where we're going. If it's to the karate school, Lord, use us today. Use the kids' lives as lights for You. Always taking opportunities to pray. Even, you know, even your thoughts, turning your thoughts into prayers. I would always remind the kids that you're tempted to get angry, you're tempted to get afraid. Whatever it is, turn those thoughts into a prayer. If you're going to take time to think about it and have those negative thoughts, take time to turn it into prayer. Commit it to the Lord. And this verse, always maintain the habit of prayer. Be both alert and thankful as you pray. Colossians 4:2. And also just remembering that God answers our prayer. Psalm 66 verse 5 says, You faithfully answer our prayers with awesome deeds, O God our Savior. God is always answering in His best ways. And then I wrote here, along with offering praise, this verse in Psalm 50 verse 23 says, But true praise is a worthy sacrifice. This really honors Me. And I think that God really desires for praise to become more of an important component in our lives. And I'm going to take a little bit more time to expound on that in just a little bit here. Okay, going on here. We pray that You would empower us to obey You wholeheartedly, practically applying God's wisdom for our daily lives. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today, Deuteronomy 6:6. You can put this scripture reference down, Joshua 14:8. This is Caleb speaking, one of the original scouts sent into the promised land, and he says this, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. And I also wrote here that in 2 Chronicles 14 and 15, if you read it later, it was also said of King Asa of Judah that he did what was pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord his God, and that his heart remained completely faithful throughout his life. Might this really be our heart's desire? The next verse, if you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. Proverbs 9:12, verse correction there. And I think that much of our obedience requires us to walk in love. It requires us to exemplify all the fruits of the Spirit. And it also, by applying these spiritual truths that we're going over, so that each of us might grow in our spiritual discernment. And also just knowing that our obedience truly honors God, and that He really strongly supports us when our hearts are fully committed to Him. And then lastly, Lord, we pray that You would empower us to hope without wavering. Hebrews 10:23 says, Without wavering, let us hold tightly to the hope we say we have, for God can be trusted to keep His promises. And Psalm 71:14, But I will keep on hoping for Your help. I will praise You more and more. Two more references if you want to write down here. Proverbs 25:5 says, All day long I put my hope in You. And Proverbs 10:11, The hopes of the godly result in happiness. The results of all of this, I want to back up because I have a little quote here. A lot of people have written little notes and letters to Jessica of encouragement, but on one of them somebody said, Hope is a luxury that we have that can never be taken away. I love that. Hope is a luxury that we have that can never be taken away from us. So let's cling to it. It's our lifeline. And each day, let's just try to set our hope anew in God. That's what He wants us to do each day. So the results of all of this is less stress, more balance, more fruit, greater inner strength of character, more people drawn to God through your witness, and then the more this becomes a reality. As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more like Him and reflect His glory even more, 2 Corinthians 3:18. The life of the godly is full of light and joy, Proverbs 13:9, verse correction there. May our lives represent a life that's full of light and joy as we wholeheartedly pursue the ways of the Lord. So let's continue to remain, let God remain the strength of our heart, because He's our power source. We have to stay connected to Him. Going on, I just want to finish up this section with showing you kind of a word picture analogy that I thought would help us just see the great value in staying focused on these spiritual truths and staying near to the Lord. This came to me like a couple years ago, but if you can think of a meter gauge and how that it kind of goes like this and it measures either a positive or a negative, and you see that arrow kind of fluttering like this, well, this is a spiritual meter gauge that I came up with, and this meter gauge arrow represents our minds and hearts when facing life's challenging circumstances, whether it's health or finances or relationships or jobs, or school, whatever. Just think of this. And now, of course, the most beneficial thing for us to do would be to lean towards the obedient side, turning our eyes and our hearts towards God and His truths, which we've mentioned here and others as well, accept, endure, trust, believe, listen, pray, praise, hope, obey, etc. And we know that focusing on each one of these in their own way can free us and keep us safe from the enemy's attacks and allow the hand of God to richly bless us and use our lives for His intended glory. And I think this is kind of like our belt of truth. Each one of these is like a notch to help us defeat the enemy's lies. And so just focusing on these truths will be to our benefit if we choose to lean to the obedient side. But you know what? Naturally, our human emotions lean towards the disobedient side. That's just naturally because God made us that way. We have our emotions. And this is naturally where we're going to lean. And I have a list here. It's not an exhaustive list, but this is where we're turning our eyes and our hearts towards negative thoughts and lies. And each one of these, in their own way, can entrap us and harm us and keep the hand of God from really blessing us the way He intends to. And I also think that this is one way that the enemy can really sap our joy and our strength and our peace. And when we're tempted to worry, doubt, fear, have unbelief, discouragement, resentment, rebellion, Galatians 5 says, shows the variety of ways a person can neglect God and pursue wrongful actions and attitudes. Or maybe it's despair, just being completely overwhelmed and losing heart. That's a big one. Beyond having the ability to endure, I've been guilty of all of these, I know. And life's challenging circumstances are going to pressure us to give in to these in one way or another every day. But we must stand strong and fight the fight of faith, keep to our convictions, cause our eyes and our hearts to turn towards God and His truths, to believe them. And it's okay to wrestle with our emotions. That's why I'm thinking of the spiritual meter kind of going back and forth. It's not sure where it's going to go. And what happens is, and I wrote here, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do, Proverbs 4:23. If we don't guard our heart on a continual basis, in one way or another, you know, we might get stuck over in this disobedient side in one of these areas and just get stuck. And there's some people that get stuck for days. There's some people that get stuck for weeks. There's some people that get stuck for years and turn and quit believing God altogether. That's why it's so important that we pour out our hearts to God. It's okay to pour out these negative emotions. Keep pouring it out, but keep focusing your mind and heart towards God and His spiritual truths so that we can stand firm and steady. So I wrote here, daily check your spiritual meter. And there's a song out there that I've heard on the radio a few times, and I've thought of this part of the song that it says, of all the voices crying out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. And there's a verse in Psalm 16:9, I think it's in the Living Bible, but it says, I am always aware of the presence of the Lord. He is near me and nothing can shake me. That's the voice of truth. And the Lord wants us to experience His presence and to keep our eyes focused on Him. So I just want to finish here by saying that as we continue to make focusing on obedience a habit in our lives, then our devotion to our husbands, our children, our homes, our church, and all other things that God leads each one of us personally to do, these priorities will remain constant, and our lives will be a blessing to others and a joy to our Savior. I've added some additional verses here on the next page for your added encouragement to read later. I just want to highlight one of them to you now, and it's in 2 Chronicles 6:14, and it says, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in all of heaven and earth. You keep your covenant and show unfailing love to all who walk before you in wholehearted devotion. Again, this is the voice of truth. Going on here, I would like to take just a few moments to close our remaining time with sharing with you some really refreshing and motivating thoughts on the area of praise and thanksgiving. And it's all taken from a book here called 31 Days of Praise. I'm sure many of you have seen it or have it. It's a wonderful book. And it's written by Ruth and her husband, Warren Myers. They've been with the Navigators in Singapore for over 40 years, and it took them over 25 years of life's experiences and God's prompting to put this book together. And I've been richly blessed by reading it through the years. I continue to read it, and it's been life-changing for me, and it still continues to freshly inspire me and motivate me to daily give God praise from my heart. And this book is not only filled with 31 days of praise prayers designed for people like you and me to put into words what is on our hearts and to help us to express our feelings better in the form of God-honoring praise, but the book also takes plenty of time to show the importance of, the how-tos, the whys, and the benefits that come from praising and worshiping the Lord. And I'm going to be highlighting just a few quotes here from these various aspects, as well as quoting a few verses that I chose to kind of correspond and hopefully encourage you as well. But I encourage you to get the book if you can. You'll be thoroughly benefited from it. Please feel free to read along with me as I read to you some of these really good quotes. To give thanks when you don't feel like it is not hypocrisy, it's obedience. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Again, we have to do that by faith. But just remembering that verse that I share with you in Psalm 50, verse 23, true praise is a worthy sacrifice. This really honors me. It's hard sometimes to, by faith, give thanks to the Lord. It's really hard, but He says it really honors me. And so it's important that we do it by faith. Notice that David and other psalmists were honest about their feelings, facing them and telling God about them. They knew how to pour out their hearts before Him. Often, they praised God first, and I say this by faith and not by how they felt, I'm sure, and then expressed their disturbed emotions, their perplexities, even their complaints. After this, they went on to praise God again despite their struggles. They did not deny their feelings or simply ignore them, nor did they wallow in them until they'd all but drowned. And it doesn't seem that they postponed their praise until they had worked through their emotions and felt better. Instead, they mingled an honest pouring out of their feelings with sincere, God-honoring praise. Psalm 66:17 says, "For I cried to Him for help, praising Him as I spoke." Then read this next passage with me. I cry out to God, yes, I shout. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long I prayed, with hands lifted toward heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for His help. You don't let me sleep. I'm too distressed even to pray. I think of the good old days, long since ended, when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I search my soul and ponder the difference now. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will He never again be kind to me? Is His unfailing love gone forever? Has His promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He slammed the door on His compassion? And I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned His hand against me. How many of you have ever felt this way? I have. But the psalmist goes on to say here, but then I recall all You have done. He's regrouping his thoughts here. O Lord, I remember Your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about Your mighty works, O God. Your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as You? You are the God of great wonders. What happens when we follow the example of the psalmist? When we express our impressions and feelings, yet choose to keep praising in spite of how things seem to us, I find that sooner or later, often sooner, the Lord releases from me being a slave to my distressing emotions. He unties the tight knots within me and settles my feelings. Though He may not answer my questions about how He's handling my affairs, and when at times praise does not bring inner freedom and joy, I can say, Lord, I can't praise You in the same way I did last week or last year. I can't seem to delight in You with the same sense of delight and celebration. But I do choose to lift You high, praising You for what You are and what You mean to me. Life in praise isn't always a feast of pure, simple gladness. Don't you find that in many situations you can experience both pleasant and unpleasant emotions? Like Paul, you can be sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. You can groan and suffer in this fallen world, yet you can learn to rejoice. You can learn to triumph in your hope, in your tribulations, and the good things they produce in your life, and above all, in God Himself. And I wrote here, read Romans 8:22 and chapter 5, verse 2, but I'm going to read them to you if you just want to listen. Romans 8:22, 23. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth up to this present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as His adopted children, including the new bodies that He has promised. And then Romans 5:2. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. I have a definition here for Thanksgiving that my husband Mark found a while back, and it says, Thanksgiving is living in a constant state of appreciation. I think this is God's desire for all of us. This should really become our goal, to have this as a daily habit in our lives, that we would learn to live in a constant state of appreciation, because the only other option to choose is grumbling and complaining, and that doesn't benefit us, doesn't benefit anybody else, and it saddens God's heart. Those are the only options we really have. She goes on to say here, through praise, you give God something no one else in heaven or earth can give, the love and adoration of your heart. He chose you before He created the earth. He designed you as an original so that you would be a special person unlike any other. He made you for Himself, and He has made plans for an intimate relationship with you throughout all eternity. Such a God is not indifferent to your response to Him. Your praise makes Him glad. And as you fill your life with praise, God will reveal Himself to you in new ways. And not only to you, but also through you to other people. More and more, in every situation, you'll shed abroad His fragrance. 1 Corinthians 16:25 says, great is the Lord, He is most worthy of praise. And Psalm 104, 33 through 35, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God to my last breath. May all my thoughts be pleasing to Him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then Ruth Meyer goes on to finish here. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. This is our high calling, our destiny, and praise is one of the greatest, most important ways to fulfill it. First Chronicles 29:11, we adore you as the one being in control of everything. I've included a special praise prayer for you to go ahead and read and enjoy from day 18. I won't read it now, but also as I included a verse down there, 1 Peter 1:6 and 7, really special passage. But on a personal note, regarding the Thanksgiving definition, living in a constant state of appreciation, I know that throughout my day, I try to make conscious efforts to thank the Lord, whether it's for pleasant things or for challenging circumstances, big or small. But I do it by faith, and I'm grateful for the inner peace and contentment that it brings. Whether it's thanking Him for His daily provisions, like, Lord, thank you so much for coming through in incredible ways right now with our medical bills being so high. Thank you for being so faithful to provide for us. Or thank you, Lord, for providing this special outfit I got on clearance. Or thank you, Lord, for helping me find these tweezers that I've been looking for the last few days. You know, just little things to be aware of, to put yourself in that constant state of appreciation. I know for Mark, he says, just looking around the house and thanking Him for different pieces of furniture or different things, appliances that you have. It's so easy to take for granted the things that we have. But there's opportunities everywhere we look to be thankful. And or whether it's thanking Him for His fresh new strength and His grace to help me during my day, or if it's thanking Him for His protection, how many times I'm well aware that I know that the Lord's been protecting me, but even thanking Him for protecting me when I'm not, I mean, His angels always watching over. Or thanking Him for His goodness, for bringing family and friends into my life, or when I'm tempted to grumble or become frustrated, or stubborn, just taking a moment to thank Him for His grace to help me and to remain calm and trusting. Or also just thanking Him for His presence, for who He is and what He's doing in and through my life. 31 Days of Praise has a lot of those, and I pray over those a lot because I'm not very good at praying those kinds of things, and it's been helpful to me and to my soul. And then also, I quote verses sometimes. I quote verses to myself, just thanking Him. I say, Lord, thank you that you're with me and that your power shows up best in weak people, and that's me. Thank you for promising that your plans for me are for my good today, that you're going to give me a future and a hope today. Thank you that you're the blessed controller of what's going on in my life right now. Thank you, Lord, that I can give you all my worries and cares because I'm your personal concern, that you're always thinking of me and you're watching over everything that concerns me. Thank you, Lord. Or whether it's thanking the Lord that you're going to work everything out for good, even today, or Lord, I'm driving and I'm late to this appointment. Thank you that somehow you're going to work it for good when I get to the other end here. I find that when I am more grateful and trusting, that I make the atmosphere in my home more peaceful. And of course, when I'm not, what's the opposite of that? And I've been plenty of times that. And I really believe, too, that having a gentle and quiet spirit plays a role in this area of having a praise-filled attitude. And I included this wonderful definition for you that I found years and years ago in a first edition book written by Linda Dillo from the book called Creative Counterpart, and in it she has this great definition. I wanted to read it to you, and it's based on 1 Peter 3:4, if you want to read it later, of course, just talking about clothing ourselves with that gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. But here's her definition. And I would encourage you to maybe memorize this definition because it's really potent. The word gentle refers to an attitude towards God in which we accept his dealings with us as good, and therefore without resisting or disputing. It's the kind of inner attitude that views all trials as a classroom of opportunity rather than a prison of circumstances. The word quiet reflects a tranquility arising from within, causing no disturbance to others when expressing oneself. There's a lot in that definition, so I'd encourage you to take time to even maybe memorize it and ponder it on it more. But this kind of a woman must exude a certain amount of continuous joy and peace in her life, and she must certainly be a joy to be around as well. Like Ruth Meyer puts it, shedding abroad his fragrance. Can we have this be our lifetime goal? Remember, it's precious to God. I included a few reflection questions for you that you can take time to read over and think through later. And then I'm going to finish here by reading a short excerpt from a devotional book written by Billy Graham called Hope for Each Day, Words of Wisdom and Faith. I really like this passage. Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And here's what he says. When our hearts are surrendered totally to the will of God, then we delight in seeing him use us in any way he pleases, our plans and desires to begin to agree with his. And we accept his direction in our lives. Our sense of joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment in life increases no matter what the circumstances, if we are in the center of God's will. The Christian life is a joyful life. Christianity was never meant to be something to make people miserable. The ministry of Jesus Christ was one of joy. The Bible teaches that a life of inward peace and outward victory is a Christian's birthright. And if you want to underline this next part, what a witness to the world Christians would be, wrote Amy Carmichael, if only they were more evidently very happy people. I'm going to say that again. What a witness to the world Christians would be if only they were more very evidently happy people. Joy is one of the marks of a true believer. Will others see the joy of Christ in your life today? And I wanted to add one more verse here. It's in the Amplified if you want to read it sometime later, Proverbs 15:30. But it says, the light in the eyes of him whose heart is joyful rejoices the heart of others. I'll say that again. The light in the eyes of him whose heart is joyful rejoices the heart of others. I want to end our time in closing prayer with a few choice portions that I chose from this 31 Days of Praise prayer. And then I'll finish off by committing to the Lord what we've just kind of gone over together now. So if you could just take a moment to pray with me. Fairest Lord Jesus, you are my heart's desire, my chief delight, my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Every advantage life can offer is like rubbish compared with knowing the overwhelming gain of knowing you. You are worthy, Lord, worthy to be thanked and praised and worshipped and adored. Father, I'm so delighted that you are both loving and sovereign. You are too wise to ever make a mistake, too loving to ever do anything unkind. Thank you that you love me deeply and tenderly. How grateful I am that you have enlisted me in your worldwide task force to be your witness. Thank you that I am part of a vast army of people around the world, people who live in full face touch with your Son and move your mighty hand to bring about your gracious purposes. What a privilege that you have destined me to have a share not only in your love, but also in your glorious purposes, both near and far, that you have gifted me for a unique part in your global search for people who will repent and believe and learn to live for your glory. I celebrate my high calling of knowing you and making you known, and I praise you for giving me your Holy Spirit to fill and empower me, and for promising to be with me always. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you that with your unfailing love, you have drawn us to yourself and that we can know you in the most intimate way. Please empower us to lead a life worthy of our calling and help us to stay closely connected to you by keeping our minds and our hearts focused on you and your truths, to help keep us safe from the enemy's attacks, so that we really can allow your loving hand to richly bless and use our lives for your intended glory. And Lord, we make a new, fresh commitment today to begin daily living a more consistent, praise-filled life. Please help us to seek to live a life of obedient gratitude for what you have done and are doing in and through our lives. We praise you for your great love and for the wonderful things you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. This name, amen.